And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, divisional ditching edition. I was going to say divisional realignment, but we're just ditching them all together. At least that's the plan. I've been banging this drum for several years that the conferences in college football do not need divisions anymore. It was an archaic construct based on a very arbitrary rule that I will explain the history of in the course of this show. And you'll be like, wait, that's why? Mm-hmm. And then you'll realize how stupid it is. And the Big Ten is coming around on this. The SEC was already talking about it. The Big Ten now talking about potentially ditching divisions. Scott Docterman covers Iowa for The Athletic. He's the one who broke the story. Gary Barta dropped the news to him on Wednesday. And Scott, how much fun has it been dreaming up permanent opponents for Big Ten schools the last day?
It's been really fascinating because every school has those rivals that they have to play. Almost every school does, except for the newbies like Maryland and Rutgers. You look at Minnesota plays Wisconsin every year for that giant, Paul Bunyan's axe, and they play Iowa for the pig. Those are historic and symbolic. Yeah,
Floyd of Rosedale can't go anywhere, no matter exactly what you change.
That has so much meaning beyond even this, 98-pound bronze pig. It has to stay. But then there's other really good trophies in the Big Ten. The brass spittoon, which is like 200 years old, that was found at a trading post in Michigan, and that's between Michigan State and Indiana. But is that important enough to preserve? And then you look at the Illibuck, which I think is the second oldest of the trophies.
Between
Illinois and Ohio State, but is that important enough to preserve? And there's another one in there. The little brown jug, between Minnesota and Michigan. Yeah, before the Vikings went to Minnesota, that was a great rivalry. But really,
and by the Vikings going to Minnesota, Scott's actually talking about Leif Erikson. He's not talking about the Minnesota Vikings. So
exactly.
I know Leif Erikson never made it to Minnesota. To history buffs.
Some of his descendants apparently did. They traveled the Great Lakes and got to Duluth.
Exactly. Exactly. No, but that is the thing. The Big Ten, more than any other league, is so steeped in history. And, we've had these conversations about the SEC a lot over the last few years because the people in the SEC feel like the league has sort of turned its back on history with the divisional format because some really good rivalries got canned in the process. The Big Ten, it's interesting because it's so, historically grounded, but all these formats, they've been one after the other over the last 15 years or so. So they're not really married to anything.
No, they're not. Before Nebraska joined, they had 11 teams. You played two teams permanently every year, and then you rotated the other eight teams six times over an eight-year period. It was a really easy scheduling maneuver. Then Nebraska joined. They went to the Legends and Leaders, which other than the name, it wasn't so bad. I mean, it was equitable, and so the leagues looked good, but you lost a few rivalries that they should have kept. And then they decided when they added Maryland and Rutgers, let's go geographic. And the only fight or disagreement that happened there was whether Michigan State or Purdue goes west. Michigan State wanted to go west. And you think about balance in the Big Ten at that point, if you had Michigan State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, I think you think, well, that's pretty good. But the Big Ten, the leadership said, well, yeah, you can go west, but you can't keep your Michigan rivalry. And they're like, well, why are you going to do this for Purdue and where they can still keep the Indiana one? Well, it didn't matter. So they ended up Michigan State saying, okay, sure, we'll go east. And now we're looking, 8 years or so after this iteration. And And in the regular season, it's pretty even. It's 77-70 in favor of the East in crossover games. So you have a lot of evenness in that. But then the championship,
the Big Ten championship game, not so much.
Right. It's AFC-NFC from the 80s and 90s. You know, it's 8-0. But Ohio State skews it any way you look at it. They're 18-2 against the West. They're 5-0 in the championships. So Ohio State, it could be in a league with Maryland, Rutgers, Indiana, Northwestern, Illinois, and it would still look pretty dominant. So that's where this all kind of comes from in my eyes is, you know, you got Penn State, which has been the most vocal about wanting to change the iteration.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, because they can't make it there when you got that roadblock in your face. When you look at wins and losses, Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin are all fairly comparable, but you know, sometimes their number two team is in the East and should play Ohio State. And I think that's where Penn State's looking at. And now that you have all the confluence of all these different topics, from having to change their schedule because of the COVID year to the college football playoff ramifications to the Alliance,
new TV deal. Yeah.
TV deal. They've got all this coming together and it's like, let's evaluate everything. And one of the topics that's getting some traction is let's just get rid of divisions. Everybody pick three opponents and then cycle through everybody else 2 years on, 2 years off.
Well, let's do a little history lesson here right now, because I know I can hear people saying, well, but the rules say the rules are made by the schools. The schools can change the rules anytime they want. The reason this particular rule is written the way it's written, there's a few reasons, but the initial reason is in the late 80s, a league called the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference in Division II wanted to stage a championship game. They had 14 teams. They were split in two divisions. And if they wanted to do a championship game at the time, they had to just say all of the teams in the league clear the last day of the season from your schedule. And then if the division champs play, those two will play and nobody else will play. So basically they cost themselves a home game or a regular season game. And so they didn't want to do that anymore. And they wanted to create a championship game. They wrote the legislation to be, you know, proposed at the NCAA convention, I think in 1987. And then they found out there was like a clerical error. There was some sort of technical error in the proposed legislation. So it got sent back to the guy who was the AD at Westchester University to fix. And in the process of fixing it, he gets a call from one of his friends over in the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, another Division II league that is in the same general vicinity as the PSAC. And they said, hey, we want to get in on this too, except we only have 12 teams. So could you just strike that four and change it to a two? And so 12 teams split into two divisions. That's where that rule comes from. The reason it got set in stone the way it did is because a gentleman named Roy Kramer, who was the commissioner of the SEC starting in the early 90s, well, going back to the late 80s, he takes over the SEC, has grand plans, and is like, you know what? I remember this rule passing at the NCAA convention. I think this could be a pretty popular deal if we added two teams to the SEC, made it 12, split into divisions, and played a championship game. It's funny because, Scott, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference didn't initially play a championship game when they got the rule passed. And so the SEC was the one that really used it. And so everybody assumed, oh, it has to be 12 and you have to be split in two divisions and this is a sacred rule. It's not sacred.
Right.
It's because this other league, the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, asked them to change a four to a two. That's it.
And here we are today. And you think about in the past, just how arbitrary it sounds that it has to be 12. Remember when Jim Delaney sent out that letter in 2009 when they had 11 teams?
Oh, yeah.
And schools didn't realize how miserable they were until they had the option to leave. And then it became this huge beauty parade, you know, and you've got Missouri doing whatever it can to get in the Big Ten, and Nebraska is there. And we're trying to figure out this whole, you know, kumbaya white smoke moment. And then everybody else started capitalizing on it. And we sent us into this, you know, realignment era. Had the Big Ten been able to have a 12 team league or an 11 team league with the division title, you think back and in 2002,
maybe this never happens. Yeah.
In 2002, so, Ohio State and Iowa were both 8-0 and ranked in the top three in the AP poll. And Iowa lost to Iowa State in the regular season. That was it. It would have been one hell of a game between those two teams at the end of the year. And they couldn't play.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Big 12 gets pillaged in realignment, is down to 10 teams. They get rid of the championship game, but then they decide they want to do it again. So the Big 12 and the ACC, which has never really liked having divisions, and I feel like you should get a prize if you can name all the teams in the Atlantic and all the teams in the Coastal. I think I can. Yeah. But they co-sponsor a change to the rule. And so that way the Big 12 could stage a championship game and said, basically, if you have fewer than 12, you don't have to have divisions. Mm-hmm. So the Big 12 actually has the perfect, if you're talking about what you want as in terms of good for business, in terms of producing the best champion to potentially go to the playoff, the Big 12 has the perfect scenario right now. A nine-game round robin followed by a number one versus number two championship game. Mm-hmm. That's got to change because they're adding teams. But there's no reason that they should have to go back to divisions.
Right.
Just because the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference arbitrarily put a 12 in that rule.
Exactly. And you look at the ACC last year during the COVID year. It went with one big, long division and added Notre Dame.
And got two teams in the playoff.
Exactly. I mean, we had a rematch and from a regular season game. And so this whole situation to me sounds arbitrary. It should be up to each conference to decide how they want to do it. If they want a championship game, which all of them now, of course, would. It's very lucrative.
Oh, yeah.
And how they do it. Because – you know, as we said with the Big Ten, it's not cyclical when it comes to championships because you have Ohio State. If it would, right. You remove Ohio State and you plug in a normal year, a 9-3 Penn State and a 9-3 Wisconsin, flip a coin or Iowa or Michigan State or Michigan or whatever. Not this.
Yeah. The problem is that Ohio State's never bad.
Yes.
That's the problem. But you would like to be in a situation where you don't run, especially in the 4-team playoff. And you know, it looks like, thanks to the ACC, the 14 playoff is here to stay through the end of the 25 season. Mm-hmm. So you don't want that random bad division champ to have a fluky upset of your really good division champ and knock you out of the playoff. Right. That's also a possibility in some of these situations. That's why I feel so bad for the Big 12. And part of it, I don't feel bad because instead of just starting to create new divisions, the Big 12 should be like, this is stupid. Let's change the rule. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we don't have to go back to divisions, because the Big 12 of everybody should be the most leery of random division winner beating your really good team, because that happened in the first ever Big 12 championship game. Thank you again, James Brown, for my national championship ring. Because if James Brown doesn't roll left and Texas doesn't beat Nebraska, my freshman year Florida team does not play for the national title. So it is but that's the thing. The Big 12 knows better than anybody. And they also had the situation where K-State beat number one Oklahoma in 2003. Now, it didn't keep Oklahoma out of the BCS title game, but it could have. So if I'm them, I want number one versus number two forever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was – of all the games that I've ever covered or been around, that was the craziest game. I never in a million years thought K-State would win. They were 9-3. You had Oklahoma 12-0. Oklahoma was supposed to be – I mean – one of those games that year, I think it was like 77-0 or something over. Right in that neighborhood. And then there was a year with Kansas State when it did get knocked out. It got all the way down to the Alamo Bowl.
98.
Because it lost a double overtime conference championship game to A&M. So these things can happen. And we've seen, a random year where there's a Pac-12 South team that's 6-6 or 7-5, or the ACC had it once where I think Georgia Tech or Pitt was like 7-5. The Big Ten even had it 3 years ago.
2012.
Yeah,
2012 was, when Ohio State and Penn State couldn't play in it. But
that was the complete outlier when, that team, but and then that team won big. But you had Northwestern a couple of years ago was 8-4 and getting to the championship game. And those are, those happen. But and then I could understand some of the group of five programs saying, well, should a 9-4 Northwestern or an 8-5 Pitt get an automatic entry to this playoff when we've got a 12-1 team that's really good and its only loss was by a field goal and it was at Florida or someplace like that?
Yeah. Well, and if you look at the way that they want to change the playoff, you look at the proposal they made, which I think will probably end up being fairly similar to what they come up with in 2026. You also don't want to, at that point, cost your league a bye, being one of the top four ranked conference champs. You don't want to cost your league a bye with a weird conference title game result. Because at the end of the day, for the Power Five leagues, you want to produce a national champion. Like, that's important. You know, if you go to 12, getting as many teams into the playoff as possible is also very important. But ultimately, you want to produce a national champion, so you want to make sure your champion has the best possible path.
Right, absolutely. Let's look at some of the Big Ten's reasoning on whether it goes to 9 games, 8, divisional play, or whatever. Say you're Ohio State, and there's never been a two-team team make a two-loss team make the playoff yet. And if you stick with 4. Why would you want to play not only the schedule you do, and it's pretty demanding in the Big Ten, at least in the upper levels.
Division's tough. Yeah.
And then you're playing, say, the Alliance matchups Clemson on the road, and then maybe you also have another marquee opponent, even another Power Five team. You have the opportunities to lose 2 games and then get knocked out of the playoff in a 4 team. However, if your champion, one of the top 4 champions, qualifies automatically and gets a bye, if you're Ohio State, it's like, oh, we'll play anybody in the non-conference. And as long as we win the conference, we could be a 10-3, 11-2 team, and we'll get a bye. We'll be fine. And so that's kind of where they're sitting at right now in the Big Ten is we want to see what the texture of the structure of the CFP will be in a few years before we really make a solid pitch towards one of these types of scheduling possibilities.
Exactly. And I think the SEC is waiting for that too, because they've obviously got Texas and Oklahoma coming in. They have to do something different. I don't see how divisions are workable in a 16 team league or a 2 division setup. There's a 4 division setup that you might be able to make work, but a 2 division setup in a 16 team league is essentially 2 different conferences. Mm-hmm. So that won't work. And then, when I've written about this with the SEC, it's pretty clear, like Florida and Auburn used to play every year. It was a great rivalry. The fans from both sides loved it. And then it went away. It was sacrificed to realignment because you know, you had seven team divisions, you had one fixed opponent, and they decided LSU will be Florida's fixed opponent, Georgia will be Auburn's fixed opponent. And look, Georgia-Auburn, that is the Deep South's oldest rivalry. You're not going to cancel that. So now they play twice every 10 years, and that's just stupid. Like, that's wrong. And what you got with the SEC, and I'm curious if you've noticed this in the Big Ten. I don't know if it's been enough years of this, but in the SEC, fans have gotten so bored with the sameness of the home schedules in even years and odd years that they kind of tune it out. Like, that's one thing the ADs in the SEC who want this are why they're pushing so hard for it is they want to have different home schedules to kind of excite their fan bases to sell more tickets.
It makes perfect sense. And you're exactly right. You know, a scenario you described with Florida Auburn was the similar one with Iowa, Wisconsin. They're only a couple hours apart. They've played almost every year since the 1890s. But when they decided to go Legends and Leaders, it was like they took the top four and split them. And then they took the next two, which were Wisconsin and Iowa, and split them.
Right.
And then they both have, you know, as you said, the Deep South's oldest rivalry. They both have incredibly long historic rivalries with Minnesota. Are you going to give up the Wisconsin-Minnesota game, you know, that is the oldest? Or are you going to give up the Pig? No. But this is a better series on the field than both of them. So then Barry Alvarez was very, very vocal about this because they're only 2.5 hours apart. And he's like, we need to play each other. We're similar tenets.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And finally, when they added Maryland and Rutgers, Barry went back at Delaney and said, let's split this. There's not a whole lot of difference between East and West other than Ohio State. And even then, they're still going through issues. But yeah, the boredness of the schedules, and I could speak to Iowa's more than anything, is like this year coming up, they'll play Wisconsin at home and Iowa State in the non-conference, but Nebraska. They've got teams that, you know, generally do well as far as among their fans. But then, you know, the other years where they have Illinois and Purdue at home, even Minnesota to an extent, it doesn't generate as much buzz. And you could see the difference in the attendance, you know, a couple thousand here and there. And that's a lot of money, you know, especially coming off the COVID year. So I think there would be a more of an interest to, say, cycle in a Michigan State. You know, Penn State's been a really good series for Iowa.
And well, that's the one that killed me when I was putting together my hypothetical, because I really wanted to make Penn State and Iowa annual opponents because they've played such fun games against one another. Like, I don't know. It's obviously geographically it doesn't make any sense, but I have that image of Adrian Claiborne, you know, returning the blocked kick in the whiteout, like, and then the game this year where it was just crazy. And like, there's so many cool games they played. And that's one, if they played annually, because playing every year can create a rivalry as much as it can sustain a rivalry. That's what I always tell people, explain with the SEC when they split into divisions in 1992, Florida and Tennessee rarely played each other before that, despite being in the same league. And in 92, they're put together in the SEC East. They both happened to be very ascendant. They were becoming the two best programs in the SEC. And so for the next, let's say, 7-8 years, they were the two best programs in the SEC and became huge rivals. And even now, where Florida's won a bunch in, you know, a whole bunch, Tennessee's only won once since 2004, but it's still viewed as a massive rivalry. So that's the thing, when you're doing these, they don't have to always have historical roots. If you just think they're going to play a bunch of good games, and you and I talked about this yesterday when we were doing our own hypotheticals, how much of it is TV governed? Because you and I were trying to figure out, Do we have Michigan State play Penn State? Yeah, TV's going to want that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the challenge for these two leagues in particular, because they're the two most historic, is you talked about, you know, like Tennessee and Auburn, you know, they go both sides with their rivalries.
Yep.
In the Big Ten, it's kind of the same deal. When you look at a Michigan State would be a good one. Number one, their series with Indiana is really good, and they play for Brass Platoon. They also play for the Land Grant against Penn State, which was – just kind of a, let's throw them a bone since they're coming in the league in 1993.
It's you like, get a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. And there's the governor's victory bell between Minnesota and Penn State, which of course could be ditched. But the Land Grant looks like a giant organ you know, that they're playing for. And, but it's become a pretty good series. Obviously they're higher profile teams, and they, you know, they played concurrently with the Wisconsin Minnesota game last year. They get almost 4 million viewers. The Minnesota Wisconsin game gets almost 5 million, or gets more than 5 million viewers.
Cause it was a big upset. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those games are really important for TV. And so is that more important for their future media rights partners to have one great game, or is it Michigan State, Indiana, which probably makes a little bit more sense geographically and what have you. And likewise for Penn State, are they going to just get thrown Rutgers and Maryland, you know, just because they're the Eastern teams? They don't really see either one of those schools as their rival, but then Maryland and Rutgers have to have rivals too, you know? And so do you give them a, hey, Indiana's your rival now. And Indiana's going, what, you know?
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
That was my struggle when I did the hypothetical for the new Big 12, for what the Big 12 will be once Texas and Oklahoma are gone. Because I did three permanent opponents for them because I assume they're still going to want to do a 9-game schedule. I only did two permanent opponents for the teams of the Pac-12 because George Kliavkoff, their commissioner, has said they're going to 8. So I didn't want to load them down. And the Pac-12 is actually really easy because the old Pac-10, they had the travel partners. So you put all the travel partners together, and then you put Colorado and Utah together because they came in as 11 and 12. And then the only other rivalry you had to worry about was Oregon-Washington. So you put Oregon and Washington together. And then the Bay Area schools want to play the LA schools. So you put Cal with UCLA, put Stanford with USC. So they're down there. And then that's pretty easy. The Big 12, though, was like, okay, do BYU and TCU still hate each other from when they were in the Mountain West together? Maybe. Like, or do you create Mormons versus Baptists with BYU and Baylor?
Yeah.
And or like West Virginia, I made Cincinnati and UCF permanent rivals for them so they didn't feel so alone on the East Coast.
Right.
But it's just a little bit different. The league, I thought, Scott, that lent itself even more to this, maybe even more so than the SEC and the Big Ten, is the ACC. Because remember, we had a North Carolina Wake Forest game this year that was a non-conference game. They're 81 miles apart, and they only play each other, you know, what I think it's twice every 10 years. Like, that's absurd.
Right. I know. That's the crazy part of this is you've got teams that are, and that's another one. You know, you have the old ACC, even before Florida State joined it, and Tobacco Road and these games. And so you got four teams in North Carolina. Well, they only have, what, one protected rival and do some things. You got North Carolina, Virginia, which is like the oldest of the Mid-South series. And the Big 12 is so strange because you look at Oklahoma State and, you know, it does it want to continue series every year with its old Big 8 partners, Kansas State, Kansas, Iowa State, or does it want to go south and compete against a Texas Tech, which was his old Big 12 South rivals? And then you still have, you know, TCU and Houston weren't a part of the Big 12 South. So you've got all these.
But they were part of the Southwest Conference.
Right. Yeah, and Oklahoma State wasn't, but it's close enough, and it obviously it's basically North Texas.
When I did the Big 12, I felt like I almost separated Oklahoma State, or I basically separated Oklahoma State from the rest of the old Big 8 schools. Although I nodded to it because I put Oklahoma State with Kansas State, just because those are usually two pretty good programs, great in-stadium environments. That I just think they could create a good rivalry together if they played every year. But yeah, I mean, and they do play every year, obviously now. Yeah. But yeah, no, and listen, we have to talk about your son's logo for Farmageddon. Farmageddon, for those who don't know, is the annual game between Iowa State and Kansas State. Scott, I'm gonna let you take this away, because this is a beautiful, beautiful trophy that could be forged anytime.
It should be. I mean, they christened this Farmageddon when they had a neutral site game in Kansas City, 15 years ago or something like that. And what a perfect one, because they are two of the most ag schools that are out there, especially Iowa State. And so I was talking to my son, who just graduated from art school, and I'm like, you know, they need to play for something. And we kind of came up with the Reaper. And I mean, how cool would the Reaper be, which is, you know, just giant thing that they're playing for every year. It'd be like Paul Bunyan's axe. And so
you're talking about a scythe that you would use to cut wheat, which would be perfect for these two schools.
Exactly. So. It's farm, it's ag, it says that, but it's also really cool. And can you imagine, you know, you could dull the blade, of course. I don't think you'd want it, but it hurt. You know, kind of like the axe is dull.
It would be up there with the Battle of the Bones, the UAB versus Memphis trophy. That's just a rack of ribs. And the Birmingham Bowl trophy, which is the statue of Vulcan with his ass hanging out.
Wow, those are some crazy trophies. I think it would be cool. And then the winner gets to you know, walk across the field and act like it's cutting wheat. So
that would be amazing. Or act like the Grim Reaper. I mean, listen, the people in Kansas in Missouri too. I know Kansas City straddles the border,
right?
But the Grim Reaper is now part of their sports lexicon after last week. when things are grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And
it's great.
Bill Snyder was called the Grim Reaper by Iowa State fans too, because he used to beat them every year, no matter how bad Kansas State was. They always beat Iowa State. So it's so I think it would be perfect to do that. And you know, because there are a ton of trophies. God knows I cover the Big Ten, and it seems like a new one pops up every other year. This would be not necessarily organic, but it'd be perfect to their heritage, as opposed to the Freedom Trophy between Nebraska and Wisconsin, or Heroes between Iowa and Nebraska. And
the place for the bits of broken chair. That's Minnesota and Nebraska, right?
That's actually pretty cool. That one is.
I know. That's pretty funny.
But yeah, and even, you know, I always say with Iowa, as long as they had Floyd, you know, the other three are kind of, you know, the Heartland's a bowl. Okay, that's kind of cool, but it doesn't need that. You know, the Cy-Hawk is, you know, the series itself matters, but the trophy is kind of neat. But and then the Heroes trophy is, the concept's great, but the trophy itself is just a trinket.
In the Big Ten, I think the two, just in terms of cool, like if you wanted to hoist this going across the field as the winning team, it's got to be Floyd of Rosedale and Paul Bunyan's axe. Mm-hmm. Like those, like the Paul Bunyan trophy itself is okay, but it's just a guy made of wood. The axe is so much cooler.
Yeah, and they get a go and go chop down the goalposts. And a couple years ago when Minnesota finally beat Wisconsin, I think it was in 2018, Fleck had everybody bring axe body spray. And it was and they all sprayed it, and it was just like a thick fog of axe body spray, you know, because we just left the axe in the locker
room. It smelled like Ari Wasserman's college dorm room. Very nice. An entire stadium.
Absolutely. So, you know, and then the Floyd Rosedale game all week long, fans, media, personalities. I mean, people go through bacon and pork, and you know, a lot of times on game day, that's the media meal is ham or something like that. You see live pigs in the parking lot, and it's just, it's fun, it's awesome, it's energetic, and it's part of history. And that damn thing weighs 98 pounds. And the funniest one was Tristan Wirfs, now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he tried to carry it the length of the field on his shoulder, and he did. But he got to the locker room, and he couldn't move his arm, you know, to get his shoulder pads off.
This is a guy who could power clean like 450 pounds, by the way.
Exactly. He could jump out of the water onto the side of a swimming pool. But by the end, it was because that brass pig or bronze pig, it weighs so much. And it matters. I mean, you know, those are the trophies that matter. The other ones are symbols of victory. But, man, you know, you just – and so when you're doing these rivalries – those are the ones where you go, you cannot touch this. That's embedded to college football.
Absolutely. Well, that was such huge news in the Big Ten, and it even eclipsed Nebraska making its chairs wider to accommodate the wider butts of its fans and possibly to keep the sellout streak alive by selling less tickets. Chili and cinnamon rolls, keeping the sellout streak alive. I mean, this was bigger news than that. And that's huge. So I look forward to, this is great, Scott, because you're right. There are so many things going on that need to be changed. If I had to guess, I'd say they would probably like to have some idea of what they're going to do before they finalize that next TV deal, which, what is that? By the end of the season, probably? Because it starts in 2023.
You know, if this was under the Jim Delaney time frame, I would say it'd be done by, you know, May or June. I don't know what Kevin Warren will do there, but yeah, I think that's fair. I think that ideally you'd want to have it before Big Ten Media Days in July.
Yeah.
So you don't get asked about it, because then it becomes a question you really propel in the future. So I would think
the last one, if I remember correctly, closed around the first week of May the year before. So
yeah, well, that sounds about right.
Right when they were in Phoenix, because the Big Ten folks all meet in Phoenix that first week of May. So that may be a kind of a target date to watch, but it'll be a fascinating next few months as everybody goes through the hypotheticals and divisions are almost ditched. Scott, I'm almost ready to declare victory.
Yeah, it's good too, and you know, but what comes down to the 8 versus 9 for the Big Ten, and I think this is what's also kind of interesting is the Big Ten. You know, it has a lot more cachet than it thinks it does in these areas. And that is, when it boils down to it, you've got the 10 or 8 marquee games in the alliance that you're going to see, a Clemson, Ohio State, a USC, Michigan, games we're all going to be talking about. But then what happens when you go, instead of Iowa, Michigan State, we're going to get Iowa, NC State, or Michigan State, Wake Forest. And you're going, yeah, I'd rather see that Iowa Michigan State game than I would the Michigan State Wake Forest. And that's where the questions
don't
are
look at it as losing an Iowa Michigan State game. Look at it as losing an Iowa Illinois game.
Yeah, that's tough too in some ways because of the history, you know. But, you know,
I actually don't think you'd lose an Iowa. Look at it as losing an Iowa Rutgers game. Look at it that way.
I think everybody would tolerate that, but and you know, and Maryland should be the happiest team in the world for this. They should volunteer for 2 ACC games every year. Play Virginia again. Play North Carolina and Duke and those old friends of theirs that they had to pay out.
I'd be like, I will take Duke and Duke. Can we play Duke twice? Let's do that. We need W's.
Exactly. You know, or you know, I mean, but Penn State's not going to say, yeah, let's play Pitt. You know, so that'll be fascinating to see how those, even though that would be a reignited rivalry from time to time.
I'm ready for all of this. I'm ready for more variety. I'm ready for more teams cycling through more stadiums. I think fans are going to like that. And just, it spices up our lives on fall Saturdays. So let's get it done, everybody. Big Ten, SEC, ACC, you know what to do. Big 12, don't go back to divisions. You don't have to. They're going to change the rules anyway to accommodate the other league. So don't do it.
I tell you what, though, if we were running the universe and we were to create an alliance, the best alliance of all, and without question, would be Big Ten SEC. So you could have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about iconic venues. You know, can you imagine Death Valley at night for Wisconsin and then going to Camp Randall for the jump around or
the 12th man. But they could have done that and they chose not to. They did New Orleans. Or what did they do? They did Houston and Green Bay.
Right.
Like,
Yeah, but if there's not an alliance, you could do that. You know, you could have those games instead of neutral sites. And that is the one.
Here's a crazy one. If you had playoff games that were on campus until the final, you'd get a lot of those with really super high stakes and potential bad weather.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and that's what the Big Ten is not looking at. Can you imagine, you know, you played at Florida. You live in Florida. Can you imagine saying, I got to go to Camp Randall in the middle of December where, like, today's high here in Iowa is 20, and it feels great compared to the zero it was the other day. Can you imagine?
Listen, you take an 18-year-old me, because I didn't even know there were places in the world where the high didn't get out of the 20s. Like, that thought alone would have shocked me. Like, wait, it's not going to get warmer than 20? What? Like, it would have blown my mind at the time. So yes, the Big Ten needs to understand that that's an advantage and not a hindrance.
Exactly. And these players all want to play in the NFL. And you're going to have to play in Green Bay and Cleveland and Chicago and those places anyway. So, if it's playoffs or whatever, you know, I would just love to be able to go with Iowa down to the Grove sometime, or Death Valley, or see the 12th man, or, you know, War Eagle. And I think they'd love to come up and see the Wave and Kinnick's Speech and you know, Melrose Avenue and you know, go to State Street Brats in Madison and Dinky Town in Minneapolis.
Well, look at the Auburn and Penn State fans. The Auburn people went up to Penn State last year. The Penn State people going down to Auburn this year. They had a blast. Yeah. The Penn State people are going to have a blast this year. They're going to get some lemonade at Tumors and walk around, and it'll be beautiful. It'll be a little hot that time of year. But that's the best part, and especially because those conferences are so historic and – you know, their fan bases appreciate the history of the game probably more than anybody else. Yeah. So they should get together more often. You're exactly right.
Exactly. And then the only time they do now are in Tampa for the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or a playoff or whatever. It would be nice to see the history of the stadiums and the culture of tailgating, because it matters. You know, I mean, going to Nebraska, you know, going to you know, take your pick around those two conferences, and it goes really deep. There are very few of those games where you're like, I don't know.
Maybe, well, that's the thing that like, if you've never been to a game at Arkansas, you don't understand how much fun it is to go to a game at Arkansas. If you've never been to a game at Michigan State, you don't know how much fun it is to go to a game at Michigan State. These are people who care deeply about the sport, about the history of it. And they're all out to have a good time. And that's, I think you're right about that. I'd love to see more of those games. And let's get them all scheduled, Scott. We're gonna get it done. We're fixing the conference schedules, and then we're gonna fix the non-conference. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And I'll talk to you on Monday.